Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Okay, and good, on Monday afternoon, Loretta, can you hear me?
Mary, I can hear you.
Yes, okay, very good,
right.
Terrific. Sorry for the technical difficulties there, listeners. It's Mary Fiorito and Loretta Frelick, and we're sitting in, as we do every Monday, for Father Anthony here on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And Loretta, how was your weekend?
Well, Mary, my weekend was wonderful, but we got a little more catching up to do.
We
than
do.
Just
we haven't
the
been together
weekends.
In a couple
right.
of weeks.
And so we want to give a big shout out and a little birthday greeting to our birthday girl, Mary
Fiorita. Happy birthday to me.
Yes. Did you have a lovely birthday?
You know, I had a very nice birthday. It was not, you know, I don't know, action-packed as previous birthdays have been. But, you know, it's a weekday. My lovely daughter made me homemade crepes, which was very nice. And
wow.
I got some beautiful flowers. And then because it's a school night, it's hard
sure.
on the kids to go out. The plan was to go out to a restaurant, but by the end of the day, everybody was just so tired. So we got a very nice takeout food, very nice take from the same restaurant we just went, and they packed it up for me and gave me a free dessert, and so that was very nice. So,
oh, that's marvelous.
Yeah, you know, sometimes anymore, I don't know how you feel, but like I almost prefer to go in now than to go out, if that makes sense.
You know,
we kind of got spoiled during COVID being able to order from very nice restaurants without having to go and sit and eat in one. So at any rate, it's it was very nice. Thank you for asking, and thank you for remembering. It was very kind of you.
Oh, always, always. And, you know, it's been a tough 2 weeks, and so much has been going on.
So much. Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, we woke up last Saturday to the horrendous, horrific news of what was going on in Israel.
Yeah.
And really—
and it was one of those things. It was like on 9/11, I had turned off the TV for the day just as like a personal discipline because— on the days I work from home, I try not to keep any, you know, any distractions. And I didn't know until later in the morning. I called my sister and my brother-in-law said, "Don't you know what's going on?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And then so this was the same thing. Like mid-afternoon, I got a text from a friend who said, I think we've entered World War III. And I said, "What are you?" So anyway, I had a little bit of catching up to do. But it's what, you know, you're someone who follows things in the Holy Land because of your love for the Lord and his people. What do you think? What's just your gut instinct? I'm not being very articulate here,
but I
just, it really kind of left me speechless just because of the barbarity of it.
Yes.
Like when the details started to come out about what Hamas did
I know.
To grandmas and, you know, babies and, you know, you just can't believe that like cruelty like that could exist in a civilized world.
Barbarism. What I know about what's going on in Israel, the simple pictures that we saw, young women with zip-tied arms behind their back and blood on their pants.
From being raped. Yeah.
But also, that's not all of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're choosing to show us because it is so horrific.
Yeah.
And I think the one girl that really impressed me, there was a protest. I mean, this is so complicated, people. We can't even begin to understand.
Yeah, we're not going to try to scratch the surface
right.
of the entire conflict.
Right.
And
but Hamas.
We are simply reacting as two human beings
yes.
to cruelty to other human
right.
beings is what we're doing right now. So,
but the one woman. She was crying, and she was crying to a police officer as the Palestinians were attempting to paint themselves as the victims in this, and that from the land unto the sea,
yes,
or from the
right.
desert to the sea,
right.
Palestine will be free.
Right.
This is not about Palestinians' freedom.
Right.
This has nothing to do with the Palestinians wanting to be a free people.
Yeah.
And I put that word in quotes. This has everything to do with Hamas, Iran, Hezbollah, Lebanon, with these entities, because
yeah.
Hamas is just a political
right.
organization,
right?
Wanting to annihilate the Jews.
Yes.
They want.
No, this was about hatred of the Jews.
This was about hatred of the Jews.
Yeah.
And here's what I saw. I saw a special on the news, and it traced it back to Hitler.
Really?
And
tell me a little bit about that.
The Mufti, M-U-L-F-T-I,
okay.
He was the leader of the Muslims that were trying to annihilate the Jews. He went to Hitler, and they showed pictures of him having meetings with Hitler. And he wanted to join with Hitler to start an element of World War II in the Middle East. And Hitler just kind of paid him lip service, and thank God, because Hitler thought they were dogs.
Yeah.
Hitler thought the Arabs were dogs.
Oh, interesting.
So he wasn't going to engage with them, but they went to him, and I'm going to do some more research on it. There's a very, Dirks is the reporter's last name.
Okay.
Just so interesting. This has been going back from the beginning of time, obviously. But, you know, I really want to say to my Palestinian brothers and sisters, you have elected Hamas.
Yeah.
What has Hamas done with your money?
Right.
What has Hamas done with the humanitarian aid that's come through? Where are your hospitals? Where is your educational system? Where are your girls being raised up and trained?
Right.
You know, they have natural resources in Gaza. They have oil. They have gas. Where are the entities to pull that out of the land?
Right.
I mean, they have got a piece of the Mediterranean Sea on one of their borders.
Right.
You know, where is the port that's allowing them to trade goods, not missiles, not, you know, artillery, not ammunition, but, you know, food. And, you know, what are they making in the world that they could become, you know, a sustainable nation?
Yeah.
They're not.
No.
Hamas is using them as a human shield. Hamas is using them to get what they want, which is the annihilation of the Jewish people. And as I said before, there was a woman on the news in New York, and she was crying. She was a young, beautiful Jewish girl, and she was crying to the security. She says, stop them, stop them. Don't you see they just want to kill us?
Yeah.
And so I think that it behooves all of us to understand the nature of the conflict. And, you know, going forward, I really think it would behoove you and me, Mary, to get some of those people
Yeah, we need to, right. I think we should, you know, reach out to the
individuals with just a understanding
right.
of what's
going on. I think it would be a service, you know, to
yes.
our listeners to bring someone in. But I would, in the meantime, really recommend Bari Weiss's Substack. So she's the former New York Times reporter. She is Jewish. It's spelled Bari Weiss, Weiss. And she runs something called the Free Press. And you can sign up for her newsletters. You know, she was so discouraged by what she saw at the New York Times in terms of how she felt the news was being manipulated in a particular way that she left and started her own news site where nothing is off limits, and you can talk about things and you can discuss controversial issues. So she's a brilliant writer, and it's very well done. And
Mary, it's interesting what you're saying, because Mark Levin, I am a big fan of his. He calls it as he sees
mm-hmm.
it. Well, he went back and talked about how the New York Times, back during World War II,
right.
They never printed stories about the annihilation of the Jews unless it was on like page 28.
Right.
When you look at all the Holocaust survivors have shared with us and what was going on, I mean, there are so many instances of people trying to get the word out. Why, there was a ship that went to Cuba with Jews to get, you know, set free.
Yeah.
And the Cubans said, no, nope, we're not taking you. Go on back.
Right.
And sent them back to
and
their
sent them
death
back. Yes.
In Germany.
Yeah.
There is so much that has gone on that I find it hilarious.
Yeah. Well, you know, she had an interview, Bari Weiss did, on Friday with Condoleezza Rice. And so, you know, it's called Condoleezza Rice and the New Axis of Evil in a Changed World. So that's the kind of level of journalist she is, that she can get a sit down with Condoleezza Rice about.
Absolutely.
You know, who was, as some of you may know, she was a national security advisor on 9/11, and she went on to become the Secretary of State. And so, and she also has there's a podcast she has called Honestly with Bari Weiss. So again, if you're looking for a good, solid resource, that I think is, now she is a Jew and she writes as a Jew, but I think she is, has really honed her skills to be able to tell both sides of a story. And again, why, that's why she left the New York Times. She felt she wasn't being permitted to do that editorially in her writing. So, so Bari Weiss and at Bari Weiss's Substack, but, yeah, but so tomorrow, Tuesday, the Latin patriarch who today offered his own life, offered to trade his life and would go into captivity with Hamas if they would release the children that are being held hostage.
Glory to God.
Yeah, he has called for a day of abstinence and fasting tomorrow. So if you can't...
And our USCCB bishops, they have signed on to that as well.
Right, so they've asked for a day of for peace. And you can be on either side of this conversation, but still pray and fast. So, so tomorrow should be a day of abstinence for Catholics, which means no meat or meat products. So pretend like it's Friday in Lent. And then also, if you are capable of doing so, of fasting. And that can be as simple as, we've talked about fasting before, Loretta. It can be as simple as not putting sugar in your tea. It can be, you don't
not having that tea.
No, you don't go to Starbucks tomorrow. You don't, you don't, you listen to something spiritual instead of to the news. You know, you do an extra hour of scripture reading or what have you. So your fasting doesn't have to be just not eating all day, because not everybody can do that or for health reasons should do that. But tell me some other ways that you fast when you have to fast.
Television.
Yeah.
If you've got a favorite program, we had a prayer need in our family. My mom gave up candy forever.
Wow.
She gave up candy forever.
Yeah. I know somebody whose mom did, a friend of mine's mom did that when her youngest sister was born with a disability.
Yeah.
And her mother never had another sweet from that day forward. She permanently
went off
fasted from
candy.
Sweet.
Yep.
And for her daughter.
Right.
Yeah.
I gave up watching The Closer.
Oh,
I am a Law and Order news. And I thought, you know what? I probably know every dialogue line. I know what every episode is about from the opening scene. I can fast from watching The Closer, but it's still,
God bless you.
Was hard.
Yeah.
But God, glory to God. God took those gifts and the prayer intention was answered. So nothing is wasted in the kingdom.
No, it isn't. It isn't. And even the tiniest little thing, I mean, St. Therese used to say this, right? Like the tiniest little thing that you could do, for example, you know, what was the example she used? She's like, you see a safety pin or something on the floor. And you could just walk right past it because you didn't drop it, and it's no one really sees it anyway. But you, for the love of the Lord, you bend down, you pick it up, and you put it back where it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And so you multiply that, you know, by 10 or 20 times a day. You know, I've tried to incorporate doing that kind of thing a little bit more into my day-to-day life, you know, to be a person of excellence. And yes, no one will see that piece of paper on the floor, but the Lord sees it, and I see it. So I might as well, you know, be a person of excellence and then, you know.
Don't you love that phrase? A person of excellence.
Yeah. Do God's best, right? At any rate, but why don't we go to our first break then? And when we come back, we can continue our conversation. And you can perhaps tell us, the listeners, a little bit about the guest that we're going to have today.
Okay.
All right. Terrific. This is Mary and Loretta sitting in for Father Anthony today on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
You are listening to
Mary Fiorito
and
Loretta Freilich
on Winds of Change.
Here is an update on the Fulton Sheen petition.
We Catholics stand just inches from the goal line to have the saint we desperately need now, Venerable Fulton Sheen, publicly declared blessed. Yet new obstacles keep arising to delay this from happening. The Diocese of Peoria is now requiring the unanimous support of the U.S. bishops behind the beatification of Fulton Sheen before a new date is set for the ceremonial Mass. This has never been necessary in the Church's history. The Fulton Sheen Movement's petition drive to set a new date soon for Sheen's beatification Mass now has 10,000 Catholics from around the world clamoring for this. We need this voice magnified by hundreds of thousands more Catholics. And you can help us do that. Take action. Go to FultonSheenMovement.com and sign the petition and share it everywhere, because everyone agrees we need Blessed Fulton Sheen now more than ever.
Bye now, and God love you.
And welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito and Loretta Freilich on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And today is October 16th, which is a very important day in the life of the Church. It is the 45th anniversary. I can't believe it's been that long, of the election of St. John Paul II to the office of Pope, to the chair of Peter. And so what a glorious day that was. I still remember it. I remember I was in eighth grade and sister came over and announced that we had a Polish Pope, and everybody, and we were just over the shock of John Paul I dying.
Yes.
Who was in office only 30 some days or something. And then this double whammy of having a Polish Pope. And of course, being in Chicago, where we have the largest population of people from Poland outside of Warsaw, is in Chicago. And so just the joy. And he had been here.
Exactly.
He was Cardinal Wojtyła. He visited here.
Many times. Yes.
So we, we kind of had dibs on him, as we say in Chicago. for him to come here. And so, Loretta, why don't you tell the listeners about the special item that we have here in the studio with us today?
Well, I'm speechless, if you can believe that, listeners.
This does not happen often, so yeah, take note.
We have the Zucchetto John Paul II. Didn't want to say
a white Zucchetto. He actually wore this as Pope because it's white.
Right. And underneath, he has signed it,
yes.
JP2.
Yeah.
And what's so, I guess, I don't know if I can out the giver, but it was brought here to the studio.
By a friend of the show.
By a very
special
friend of the show. And I am, overwhelmed, because John Paul II, to me, is like the be-all and all.
Yeah.
I have a medal of his that I wear. I remember him coming out on the balcony,
yes,
and looking and going, who is he?
Yes. Oh, that was...
Wasn't it? And I think I spent the rest of his papacy saying, who is he?
Yeah.
At least the first couple of years, because it was somebody that just called me back to the Church.
Yeah.
In so many ways, I think as Catholics, sometimes we get caught up in the routine of what it is to be Catholic.
Yeah.
But we don't, our legs and our feet go to Mass and do the Lenten practices and
right.
the Advent preparation. But he took our hearts and made us fall in love with Jesus.
Yep. And he brought down communism, or at least he was a large factor in bringing down communism.
Absolutely.
And freed the Polish people. There's no question his role in that was monumental. And, listeners, if you have never seen the documentary on John Paul II, that I believe the Knights of Columbus did it. And yes. George Weigel's book on John Paul is featured fairly prominently in it. And it is absolutely worth your time to see. It is so beautifully done.
Yes.
And you'll just learn just so much about him. But what a, you know, Cardinal George often said of him, you know, people like John Paul come along once in a lifetime.
Right.
Once in a century. And so Mother Teresa, John Paul II, you think people like that who were serving the church, you know, again, it just kind of unheard of, you know.
Right.
That you would have such kind of talent, you know what I mean?
Right.
Anyway.
He was the real deal all rolled up in one.
Yep, and he sure was.
It was a Texan when he came to the United States. The Texan was already here.
Right.
But it was the Texan that said to somebody, I don't know who, you got a pope who knows how to pope.
Yes, right. There you go.
And, you know, he did. And, you know, one of my favorite stories is he and President Reagan worked together. And Margaret Thatcher.
Right.
Yes, we won't forget our girl.
Right.
But they worked together to bring down communism.
Yeah.
And the gift that the Reagans purchased when they, that year, because the stuff that's given to the president, it belongs to the nation.
Right.
But the president is given the opportunity to pay its cash value to the government.
I did not know this.
Yes.
Oh,
and take with them a gift.
Okay.
So
I did
there was
not
a
know
beautiful
this.
Statue of Blessed Mother.
Okay.
That's what he chose to send to the president of the United States, who then purchased it from the government, and it belongs to the Reagans. And
oh,
I just thought,
how interesting,
isn't it? And then the other story I love too, and there's lots of really good ones, miracles, how he knew who to touch and bring healing. But there's another story where John Paul II could get just lost in Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament.
Yeah.
And so it was agreed when he was traveling, don't tell him where the Adoration Chapel is.
Oh, how funny.
And so he had such a sense of the presence of the Lord. I don't know what town they were in, but he's walking down the corridor to go to the next meeting, and they've already told him there is no Adoration Chapel on this floor. And he walks past the closed door to the Adoration Chapel, and he stops.
Wow.
And he turns, and he looks at the priest escorting him, and he waves his finger like,
Yeah, that's very funny.
And then went in and spent an hour taking them totally off schedule.
Yeah.
But he was so in tune with the Lord that he felt his presence, and especially when that presence was even more intense. So, John Paul II, thank you, thank you, thank you for your yes
for
to the Lord.
Oh, yes. My goodness. And just the gift he was to everyone. So, at any rate, I'm glad that we've had an opportunity to, and to be in the presence of it. This would be a second-class relic because he would have worn it and touched it personally.
Yes.
And signed it personally. So,
yes.
So what a gift to be able – and, you know, and he is very generous on special days. So if you have a special need or a intention today, absolutely entrust it to him today because it's his anniversary. This is when he was made known to kind of the rest of us. You know, in Poland, I remember, I think it's in the Weigel documentary where they're interviewing a woman who was from Krakow. They were asking people from Krakow, do you remember when he was elected pope? And oh my goodness, can you imagine the joy? People were running into the streets. It was like winning the Super Bowl times a million.
Yes.
And like the streets were filled with people saying, Wojtyła is pope, Wojtyła is pope. And a doctor, a friend of his who was a physician, who was a very close friend and a big influence on him in terms of his, his thought and his, I shouldn't say whatever, but, you know, his thought, his ministry to women, his letters to women.
Yes.
But she said, we always knew, she said, it's the moment we kind of, those of us who knew him well knew would come because he was too good not to share with the world.
Yes.
And what, you know, like a cross in his earlier life, you know, his mother died when he was very young, then his father died, then his brother died. So he was, he had no immediate family. Which is rather incredible when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, another one of the reflections brought out is like, you know, he had no immediate family because the world became his family when he became pope.
Yes.
So the world became his family. So, and he, Oh, the gift he was.
And there are so many wonderful, warm stories of him. You know, in World War II, they hid him. He was assigned to work in the salt mines.
Right.
They hid him in the salt mine so that he could study.
Yeah.
And there's a story of him being hit on walking home in the dark.
Yeah.
And a woman taking care of him.
The number of times he almost lost his life.
Right.
During his younger years.
That was Blessed Mother.
Yep.
But there was just so many ways in which, you know, the world has been blessed. And the salt miners that presented him with a stole when he was elected.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Bishop.
Can you imagine?
Can you just imagine?
Yeah, it's spectacular. Well, thank you, special friend of the show, for bringing in this beautiful second-class relic and this beautiful reminder on this special day.
Yes.
Of John Paul II, and what a grace to be in his the presence of something that he wore and touched, a beautiful, bringing back so many beautiful memories.
Yes.
So, okay, well, we should go to our second break now.
Okay.
And then when we come back, we are going to be joined by Sue Beauchamp.
No, Cece Beauchamp.
Cece. Cece
She's
Beauchamp.
The communication chair for Pentecost Today USA.
Okay,
and
terrific.
They're hosting their upcoming annual conference, and she's going to tell us why we might still want to sign up.
Okay, terrific.
All right,
terrific. Well, we'll stay tuned, listeners. This is Mary Fiorito and Loretta Fralick sitting in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststanschurch.org.
You are listening to
Mary Fiorito
and
Loretta Fralick
on Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org, ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Loretta and Mary on Winds of Change, and we have a very special guest for us and you listeners today, Cece Beauchamp. Hi, Cece.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, Cece, you're the communication chair of Pentecost Today USA, correct?
Correct.
And tell our listeners who haven't heard our other shows on Pentecost Today, what is Pentecost Today USA?
Well, Pentecost Today USA was formerly known as the National Service Committee for the Catholic Charismatic Renewal in the United States. And a couple of years ago, we made that transfer to engaging with a new identity of Pentecost Today USA, with a mission to bring, build, and serve the church and the world, bringing the baptism of the Holy Spirit, building unity, and serving the poor.
Praise God. And you serve as its communication chair, and what a good choice with that nice little one-liner. Now, you're having, well, I should say we're having, disclaimer, I serve also on the board of Pentecost Today, but we are having an upcoming conference, and I can't think of a better antidote to the world suffering at large right now over the war in Israel. Tell us about the upcoming conference, Jesus 2023, Drink of One Spirit.
So the conference is happening October 20th through the 22nd, and it's going to be held at the Savior of the World Pastoral Center in Kansas City, Kansas. It's a national leaders meeting, but it's also a gathering of young adults, of older adults, of people from different denominations. It'll be primarily Catholic, but it's open to all, and we have several different denominations who have pre-registered to join us as well. So it will have that ecumenical component. It's going to be a new kind of conference in the sense that it's not just coming and sitting and listening. It's going to be very interactive and have components that allow us to really experience that Holy Spirit, that drinking of one Spirit, not just sit and listening. It's going to have a do component as well.
Cece, this is Mary, Loretta's co-host. Nice to meet you.
Hi, Mary.
I've heard many nice things about you from Loretta over the years. So as someone who is not involved in the Charismatic Renewal, what would you say to a beginner who perhaps isn't familiar with the style of prayer? Is there like a beginner's track at this thing? Like, can you come in? Do we get onboarded if we like show up? Because, you know, some of it, I think, for just people who are, you know, they don't understand and haven't been taught how to pray in the Spirit.
Sure.
Tell us what somebody who's not familiar with this would gain from the conference.
Well, this is truly open to anybody. It's really having that love for God. And if you have that hunger for God as a starting place, it's a fit. It's not going to feel stuffy and structured. It will definitely have more of that free-flowing element to it, and it will be utilizing the gifts of the Holy Spirit in a little more flamboyant way than some Catholics are used to seeing. But there definitely is a lot of folks there that can be helpers.
Sure.
We don't have a separate track because we really feel that this is almost an immersion experience.
Ah, I see.
And so, but if it's new for people, when you register or if you're at the registration table, say, this is all new for me, you would quickly be assigned a helper. Give you a heads up of what's going on with this. How is
like
this
a buddy,
work?
A buddy,
kind of
to,
a buddy
be,
to kind of walk you through it.
All right.
That's definitely something that can be accommodated with no problem at all, because we don't want people to be incredibly uncomfortable with a different style of prayer, which is, again, a little more expressive.
Right, right. It's just a different way of praying, but, you know, especially, you know, there's a TikTok video going around now. I hate when people, they don't know what they don't know, and so a particular kind of prayer isn't their kind of prayer, so they feel like that it couldn't possibly be a legitimate form of prayer, and so they mock people,
sure.
You know,
right.
who come to know the Lord this way, which I just enrages me. I just think it's so awful to do something like that. But I'm so happy to see you're having Archbishop Nauman.
Yes.
He is a longtime friend of mine, and you can tell him I said hello. He is probably one of the most holy and prayerful men I think I've ever met in my
right.
life, and that's saying a lot. He
right.
is really, how blessed you are to have him there. I mean, he has such a fatherly presence,
mm-hmm.
but just such a kind demeanor, and, you know, he has a beautiful story. His own father was a murder victim, sadly, when he was a little guy and, you know, left his mother with two children under the age of two after her husband was murdered, and he gives a beautiful talk on forgiveness.
Yes.
And it's really powerful to hear that. So, you know, for him, he alone is worth, I'm sure there's a lot going on that's really good, but he alone, in my opinion, is worth the price of admission.
He'll actually be leading one of the, serving one of the masses.
Oh, beautiful.
For
that's
us,
terrific.
Doing the homily for us at
yes.
one of the liturgies.
You know, Cece, you mentioned that you know, that when you were talking with Mary about, if this isn't my style of worship, it's really not calling any of our conferences are really not calling people to have a particular style of worship or to be Catholic. I really think it's more inviting them to a personal relationship with Jesus that's best expression is in the Catholic faith. And, you know, when I see some of the things that are going on at this event, the 24/7 praise and worship, what's that all about?
So what that is actually something that's very beautiful. In between the main sessions, in mm-hmm. the breaks, and then actually all night long on Friday night and Saturday night, there will be a side area for praise and worship where people can come and go and pray and intercede, and there will be different worship leaders and different teams from all over the country leading an hour to two-hour sessions during that time so people can come and go. But we wanted the conference to be bathed in prayer, just nonstop prayer, very similar to what happened this past summer at the college campus?
Yes, yes, at Asbury.
Yeah,
and that spread to the other campuses.
We did a couple of shows on that.
Yes.
In fact, Loretta and I were on our way there when they shut it down. Can you believe that? No, I'm not kidding, because I just said, you know, we were going to do it like a Thelma and Louise thing. I'm like, why don't we just go? And so we had all these plans. Remember, she was going to pick me up at 5 in the morning, and then we were thwarted. We were thwarted, Cece, but I think we got the graces anyway, because
always.
Yeah,
always.
Because we had intended to go, as the Lord knew.
Yes.
Well, you could come again and
okay, go.
And experience that again, where we don't know exactly what that's going to look like, because all the different worship leaders will be bringing their own charisms and their
right.
own gifts from their communities to share.
Right. And there's something the Protestants call it's like the burn room. So, you know, we're adapting things we're learning from our brothers and sisters. But
absolutely.
You come before the Lord and you just burn for Him.
Yes.
Now, yep. I'm also excited. I mean, we've got a really great lineup with Bishop Peter Smith, Father Boniface Hicks, Ralph Martin, John Bailu. But I'm so excited that we're having Misty Edwards from IHOP. So when I first learned about IHOP, it is not the Pancake House. They do not have a prayer team or ministry.
Okay.
It is actually the International House of Prayer, born in Kansas City. And she has a beautiful ministry of music where it's scriptural. And she is, and the one song of hers that I keep thinking about now, I don't know if you're as familiar with this one, Cece, as In the Days of Noah. She has a meditation song that is about, you know, all the people eating and drinking and the world blowing up as, you know, kind of as...
Sure.
Aren't we in the days of Noah now? We're all eating and drinking. Israel is on fire. But, you know, we trust that a good God is there with His hand to guide us. So Misty Edwards will be presenting a prayer time. I don't know what it's going to look like because she spends an awful lot of time with the Lord and He'll determine it. And He hasn't told me.
One of the exciting things that will be happening on Saturday, and again, this goes back to that difference from a just sit conference, is mm-hmm. more of a practical training. And that's on prophetic evangelization.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll have a time of training and teaching and talking about what that looks like. And then we're going to split up, and we're either going to stay and pray and intercede for those who are going out, mm-hmm. or we will go out to the areas, the public areas in Kansas City, a couple miles away, which is a big area where there's sports arenas and events happening and hotels and restaurants and things,
sure.
and do some street evangelization where we actually bring Jesus to people and
praise
invite
God.
Them to come for Saturday night, to come for a healing and prayer service, to experience the Holy Spirit, but also just to come and see what this is all about and to pray with them if they're open to that. And mm-hmm. if they're not, it's not going to be a pushy thing. It's not a in-your-face evangelization. It's a welcoming, loving, just, do you know Jesus? And
exactly.
is there anything in your life that I can pray for you for right here, right now?
Right.
Not in the future, but like right now. Let's just say a simple prayer for that need. And, you know, God works in such powerful ways through that. And it's scary as heck to be the one to set out in
yes.
faith. And that's why there'll be people and intercessors praying for them while that's going on to make those invitations. And so, and then the evening session will be that culmination of that time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping that some of those, or a lot of those people, will actually make the time to come join us.
Praise God.
Yeah.
And widen the tent pegs.
What a wonderful way to have invited them in the afternoon and then give them the opportunity to come and be among us. It's
right.
sort of takes the scariness out of it.
Right.
Yeah, because, what would you say, Cece, to somebody who's never experienced extemporaneous prayer or who doesn't know what to expect? So say, you know, and this is just an example of something, someone who has a loved one who's very ill with an illness.
Mm-hmm.
And they're hearing this and they think, hey, maybe that would be good if I had somebody pray with me. What is that experience going to be like for that person? And again, for somebody who just, you know, their concept of prayer is going to Mass and praying quietly by themselves at Mass, what should they expect?
You know, that kind of prayer is very much tied into what Loretta said about relationship. It's talking to our friend. It's talking one friend to another friend, talking to Jesus as a friend for a friend, that my loved one is ill. So let's just bring two or three of us together and close our eyes and just ask Jesus to come and heal that person. And it doesn't have to be all crazy and flamboyant. It's just specific, and it's a friend asking a friend who happens to be the Lord to bring his power and his love and touch that person's life. And when Jesus says over and over again, ask and you shall receive, there's that fear sometimes of asking, of I don't want to presume. But it's an invitation from a friend to ask so that he can be present in a special way. And we're aware of it because we've invited him.
Absolutely, Cece. That's so true. And what I really love about the conference is we're inviting individuals like Ralph Martin. Ralph Martin, who has been given prophetic words and vision for what the Catholic Charismatic movement needs to accomplish in following Jesus and bringing Jesus to others.
Exactly. Ralph is actually going to be our keynote speaker on Friday night. And beautifully, Ralph was one of the keynote speakers back in 1977 when there was a huge Catholic Charismatic Renewal Conference there in Kansas City with over 50,000 people, 13 denominations. Just people from all over the world came together to pray and praise. And he gave a prophetic word at that conference, which is still very applicable to today. And he's going to revisit that prophetic word, and we're going to talk about that and pray through that. And that's going to be a big part of Friday night, of tying the grace that happened in the place where so many lives were converted to deep relationship with Jesus back in 1977 and bringing that forward to 2023.
And one of those people, Cece, was Cardinal Rinero Cantalamessa.
It was, who became the papal preacher. He preaches to the papal household every year, and for three popes now.
because he, you know, he tells us, he gives his personal witness. We had him as a guest at or as a speaker at one of our conferences here in Chicago, and he also spent a day with the priests of the archdiocese, and he tells his story about how he didn't want to go, but some lady gave him a ticket, and so he thought, oh, okay, I'll go. And he got there in this, it was outdoors, and he got there, was so touched by the Lord. And then he went home to Rome where he was Capuchin priest. And he started praying, and it's ironic because we've just been talking about John Paul II. And when John Paul II got elected as Pope, he felt the Holy Spirit telling him to go into St. Peter's Square and stand outside the window of the Pope. And he just cried out to John Paul II, Coraggio, John Paul II, Coraggio, courage, John Paul, courage. And the Pope inquired, who is this man? Bring him up here.
Right.
And it started a long relationship as preacher to the papal household.
Yeah.
And he had the courage
to
do
that. That's a tremendous privilege to be a preacher to the papal household. It really is.
And you would know, Mary.
I would. Well, I don't know. I've never
with
preached
your long,
to the papal household
with
myself.
Your long
but,
history.
But I know it's important. Well, listen, this before we go down the ramp of lunacy here, we're going to take our final break. Cece, can you hang over with us past the break?
I absolutely can.
Okay, terrific. Listeners, please don't go away. We'll continue our wonderful conversation with Cece Beauchamp on the other side of this. This is Mary Fiorito and Loretta Frelick sitting in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
You are listening to
Mary Fiorito
and
Loretta Freilich
on Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststandschurch.org.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Loretta and Mary with our new friend of the show, my old friend. But
yeah, if we ever get a coffee mug, Cece, you can have one. We don't have a coffee mug yet, but if we ever get a Winds of Change coffee mug, you'll be on the, you'll get it, you're in the top 10.
Perfect.
And we are talking about the National Catholic Charismatic Conference, Jesus 2023, Drink of One Spirit, that will be held in Kansas City, Kansas, October 20th through the 22nd. And it's not too late to sign up, is it, Cece?
It's not. You can register online through our website, PentecostTodayUSA.org. And the registration is right on the front page there. You can also just search in Google for Jesus 2023, and that'll help you find that website. We also are taking walk-in registrations day of. That is absolutely acceptable as well.
Oh, and don't forget the number, the 800 number, 800-338-2445. I love 800 numbers. It's so much easier.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Much less to memorize, right, if you've got it. Yeah.
Cece, what are you most looking forward to at our conference?
Well, I'm a musician, so I'm looking forward to the praise and worship.
Oh, what's your instrument, Cece?
I play piano, guitar, and voice.
Oh, how beautiful.
So I'm looking to be able to participate in the music, and then I'm actually going to be helping to lead one of the first sessions on Friday night in the side room, in the praise room.
Oh, that's good to know, Cece.
So
I'll be there.
I'm excited about that.
Yes, well, and Cece, you do more than pray, or you do more than play. You pray, and you often lead us in worship at events, and it's very, very prayerful and holy, and brings us into God's presence. So we're very grateful. And
thank you very much.
Good to know. What time's your worship session?
10:30 p.m.
Oh, I can do that. I can do that one. Okay.
One of the fun things about this conference I'm also looking forward to is just the blending of different cultures and different ages and different experiences. And that's that unity piece of the conference.
Yes.
We're going to be having some speakers, young adult speakers from the Haitian renewal stream, and also from the Hispanic renewal stream, will be joining us as well,
right,
for some of the conference part. But there's a lot of young adults there in Kansas City who are coming, and St. Paul's Outreach is helping with the planning and coordination, which is a college age outreach to Catholics.
They're very campuses. Good. I know them.
So they're going to be a big part of that as well. So it's, but we also have people like Sister Marie Keller.
Sister Nancy.
Nancy Keller.
Yes,
sorry.
No, it's okay.
Nancy
I'm
Keller.
Sure Marie's worked in her name somewhere. Don't worry, Cece.
Absolutely. And as we said, Ralph and also just the Archbishop and Bishop Peter Smith and people who have been in the renewal for a very long time and bring a ton of wisdom and experience, but then also the fresh new voices. And I just love those conversations over the meal tables that you get to have with people.
Sure. And all of you encounter people, Father Boniface Hicks.
Absolutely.
He's got a wonderful book on prayer that he's written with another priest, but Encounter Ministries relies on Father Boniface as a team person, and I can't wait to hear his message to the renewal.
Exactly, and we really welcome anybody who's gone through the Encounter program to come and experience this conference as well, and bring your experience with witnessing in the streets and just meeting people where they are.
And right.
We hear street evangelization. That sounds kind of scary, but really, it's just meeting people where they are, and that just happens to be not inside a church door
right,
a lot of
right.
times.
And don't worry, we won't send you out by yourself.
Nope. Right.
You go out always in pairs, at least. But,
yep.
you know, the goal is to invite that person to a personal relationship with Jesus wherever they are in their lives.
Yeah.
What's scary about that? You're meeting them the same way in the grocery store. You're still meeting that same person at the doctor's office or at the pharmacy. But here you are giving them a gift that cannot be measured.
And so I was so happy to see Bishop Peter Smith that he's participating. So he is a bishop who comes from the lay ecclesial movement, the People of Praise.
Right.
Which pretty much no one had ever heard of until Amy Coney Barrett was nominated for Supreme Court. I knew of them because Cardinal George, who was my former boss at the Archdiocese, he was close to them and had helped them even at some point to revise some of their statutes for their lay members. And Bishop Smith, of course, is a part of that group. And I think it speaks highly of People of Praise that the Holy Father made him a bishop, you know, due in large part to the all the wonderful things that he's done through People of Praise.
Right, right, right.
And very sad to see, you know, People of Praise just denigrated the way it was. Apparently now the FBI is investigating them because some former members complained about something. I mean, so here they're getting dragged through the mud all over again. And so I'm grateful to see that he'll be there not only, you know, praying, but being prayed
right.
for.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, we have a few minutes left. What else would you like to share, Cece?
Well, I guess I'd just like to put those who are not familiar with the Charismatic Renewal a little at ease, that this is a form of prayer and a movement within the church that is fully approved by the bishops, the cardinals, the pope, multiple popes.
Multiple popes. In fact, this pope has said to a gathering of priests, Pope Francis said to a gathering of priests in Rome, I think it was like 13 years ago, every parish should have a charismatic prayer group.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He said those very words. So everyone that says we have to follow Pope Francis on his social teachings and on, you know, on, you know, everything else, they need to get in line because 13 years ago he said every parish should have a charismatic prayer group.
But this goes back to John Paul II. It goes back to Paul VI.
Yes.
It goes even farther back. I mean, this is something that was prayed for, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit was prayed for back in 1901 and by the Pope, who dedicated the 20th century to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So really, it's just a recapturing of part of our tradition that lay dormant for quite a while.
Well, it lay dormant in our church because
exactly.
Blessed Elena Guerrera wrote 13 letters to Pope Leo the 13th. I can't remember which number he was. But the whole church, he got the whole church, the Catholic Church, to pray for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And who does it fall on? It falls on the Protestants first. And now the Catholics are, in the last 50 years, we are just catching up with the program.
In fact, where it first fell was in Topeka, Kansas.
Amen.
Which is very close to where this conference is being held. So it's part of that grace of the place.
Sure.
And again, recapturing that, renewing that, stirring up that Holy Spirit in our personal lives, and then where we can take that to our families, to our parishes, to our world, to our jobs. It's by gathering together. There's almost 500 people registered already, and
oh,
we expect
fantastic.
That to continue growing.
Wow.
Right.
In the last weeks here, it's kind of post-COVID, that last-minute push of like, okay, I'm going to commit now last minute. Well, we are open
however
to that,
we get
and
them,
we welcome
these...
you to still come along. We have plenty of room. That the space is available to be flexible for space. So it's definitely, we can take more, and we're not cutting anything off.
Well, we have about 3 more minutes, and in that time, I would really like us to pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And If you have just a minute to pray with us, Cece, we're all good with that, too.
Love it.
And on this feast day of John Paul II's election as Pope, we just decree and declare, Holy Spirit, that that same outpouring in which you created Pope John Paul II, that you are going to create an outpouring of the Holy Spirit again in Kansas, that you are going to use this place as an outpouring location, just a portal from heaven, that the throne room might come down over all of the people that are attending this conference this weekend, that you, Lord, show up and make your presence fully known. We ask that you bless all the speakers with an amazing anointing, all the worship leaders with just that their hands might and words might be blessed beyond measure, and that all of us may come together as one body. We pray, Lord, that we will go out from Kansas City and that you, Lord Jesus, will change the world. We just ask blessings on Cece and all her work in order to bring this conference to fruition. And we thank you, Lord, that she was willing to give up her time with us today. And we decree and declare that the Holy Spirit shall change us and change lives and change the world, and that there be peace in the Middle East. And we ask all of this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Cece. We'll see you in Kansas City.
Can't wait.
God bless you.
Thank you so
Good
much
luck
for
with
your
the
time
conference,
today.
Cece.
Oh, I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you for
you.
Joining us.
Thank you.
Well, listeners, what a beautiful show that we've had today, and we give a little special shout out to our favorite board operator, I think we can say right now, Armand.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you for coming in, Armand, to make this show possible today. There's lots of people behind the scene here at Winds for Change. Winds for Change. I don't even know the name of our own show. At Winds of Change here. And Father Anthony, first and foremost, but our friend Armand and our friend Oscar and all those who pray and sacrifice to make this show possible and make it available to so many different people who need a little bit of uplift in their lives. So thank you so much for joining us, Loretta. Have a good time at the conference next week.
Well,
I'm flying solo next week, friends. So I'll be back, but Loretta will be gone. But I think I'll manage to carry on somehow. So
somehow I know you won't break the show, Mary.
I hope not. I hope not. All righty. Have a great week, everybody. Goodbye. God bless.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see?